Thank you, Cody. Thank you, Cody. And now Dr. Long.
Hello. My name is Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long, and I'm an Army Aerospace Medicine Specialist. Senator Johnson has invited me here to make a statement to him regarding my opinion about the life-threatening adverse side effects of COVID-19 vaccine. My opinion is formed from my medical education, training, and my firsthand experience treating soldiers injured by the vaccine. My views are my own opinions and do not reflect that of the United States Army, the DoD, or any entity thereof. This statement is made as a protected communication under the Military Whistleblower Protection Act, Title 10 USC 1034. I would like to also disclose that I have no financial interests. I believe the COVID vaccine is a greater threat to soldiers' health and military readiness than the virus itself. Over 200,000 service members have rejected the vaccine, yet the military is pressing forward without regard to the damage to the morale and readiness to process these soldiers out. We have never lost 200,000 soldiers on the battlefield in a few months. Taking soldiers out of uniform has the same impact on readiness as losing them on the battlefield. I enlisted in the Army and completed basic training by the age of 17. I am now a board-certified aerospace medicine specialist with a master's in public health. I have spent the last 30 years serving this great country. I have gone from an almost homeless teenager on welfare to a lieutenant colonel physician in the United States Army. I have truly lived the American dream. Everything I have and everything I am, I owe to Christ alone. I recently had a colleague on social media point out that my career in medicine was not the typical path. She was right. You see, in my first year as an Army physician, I suffered catastrophic complications after the birth of my daughter at the hands of fellow physicians. The impact on my family and my life has been enduring, painful, and life-changing. My plans for my family and my career abruptly pivoted. It was during this time I tried to ensure something good would come out of something very painful. I did what we do in the military. I did an after-action review on what went wrong with my care that resulted in such disastrous outcomes. I attempted to engage all involved and start a dialogue for change. You see, you will not change something if you will not acknowledge it's broken. Yes, it wasn't the traditional path. It isn't the path I planned, but it was the path laid out for such a time as this. In 2018, I had the privilege of attending the Aviation Safety Officer course and mishap investigation training. The course director asked me on the first day, "Why would a doctor waste time in this course? What are you hoping to get out of this?" I responded, "Sir, we crash 3 Boeing 747s packed full of patients every day in medicine from medical errors, and I'm here to bring aviation safety to military medicine." Yes, across this country, 444,000 patients die every year from medical errors. Last May, I attended the Senior Preventative Medicine Leadership course for the Army. When we're given an opportunity to ask the senior leaders questions, I simply asked. So we skipped 2 years of phase 2 trials and 3 years of phase 3 trials. We only lost 12 active duty soldiers to COVID. Yet we're going to risk the health of the entire fighting force on a vaccine we only had 2 months of safety data on? The response was, "You're damn right, Colonel, and you're going to get every soldier you can to take the vaccine so I can get enough data points to determine if the vaccine is safe." Our service members are national treasures. They have stared down bullets, been blown up by IEDs and bombs. They have endured thankless and protracted wars, missing the birth of their children. They bore the burden no matter the cost. They did so without respect to political party or narrative. These are warriors, not lab rats. They deserve the best medical care. At the onset of the vaccine rollout, I had a colleague who took the vaccine to protect her elderly parents. She's a brilliant officer and a doctor. She's deployed twice. After the vaccine, she had fever, significant pain, lost all range of motion in her arm for over a week. That was the first time I looked in the vaccine adverse event reporting system to see if her symptoms were common. What I found horrified me. I found the bearers in only a few months into the vaccination campaign already had more deaths than in any year for all vaccines combined in each of the 10 years previously. I subsequently went to Fort Benning, where I encountered numerous soldiers who told me of threats, coercion, and intimidation to get the vaccine that were at that time still under EUA. This violated medical ethics, specifically the Nuremberg Code. When I emailed Army Public Health Command and asked about adverse events, the epidemiologist emailed me back and told me that they were not tracking, tracing, or monitoring adverse events. I received an email encouraging military healthcare providers and professionals get vaccinated, put a sticker on your uniform, post it to social media with the hashtag #TheVaccineSafe, #GetVaccinated. This disturbed me because it seemed as though healthcare professionals were being used as the marketing arm of pharmaceutical companies. Many would say this is just good public health messaging, but I would say this is a violation of DODI that prohibits endorsement of a civilian product. Yes, these vaccines are a product. The pharmaceutical companies are not benevolent charities. They are there to make a profit, and they are. In May, I came across a young woman, a collegiate-level athlete, training for Ranger School. She was everything we wanted in a female warrior. She had a promising career ahead of her. She told me that she was the only female in her Ranger School class and the only one not vaccinated. She went on to tell me of the level of harassment and intimidation soldiers were facing for not getting vaccinated. She expressed her concerns about the effects that the vaccine might have on her fertility and health. I walked her through the potential risks and benefits for her age, physical condition, and fitness. I told her, you have everything to lose and nothing to gain. She reached out and sent me this message. The time and pressure got the best of me. I know I met you for a reason, and there were so many signs and so much guidance against getting the vaccine. That day I spoke to another mentor who told me the vaccine is the future and leaders make sacrifices, sometimes so they can be there for their people. I went forward with that, feeling like it was going to allow me the opportunity to look out for others. I hate to say how much I regret the decision. It's been a little over 2 weeks and my body isn't right. I was in such a strong place physically and ready for Ranger School, and about a week ago everything changed. I began hurting, having cramping, back pain, bruising, coughing. I ignored it because I really just wanted to go to Ranger School. It's everything I'd ever worked for. I shaved my head and left Sunday to get my tab, and my body shut down on me out there. The 5-mile run I've been run a million times beat me. I couldn't get my body to move any faster. I was in pain, not for being out of shape, but for whatever was happening inside my body. I was dropped from the course and went and saw a doctor. I don't know why, but I wanted to reach out to you and tell you how grateful I am, regardless of the fact I failed to see the signs and trust why God brought me to you that day. Thank you for trying to reach me. Thank you for caring about my health more than my job. I wish there was a way to undo what has happened, but I can't. And I just try to move forward and get to a better place. I want to thank you again. I hope you continue to help people who haven't put themselves on the other side. Hearing her disastrous side effects was like looking in the mirror. I saw a promising young officer at the beginning of her military career knocked off her trajectory. It was later on that I reached out to Dr. McCullough, who invited me to be a group of hundreds of doctors, scientists, and mathematicians from around the world looking at early treatment and vaccine safety. One of the things that this female's story highlighted the most for me was that women had unique considerations than men and postmenopausal women. Women with in their childbearing potential have all the eggs they'll ever have from conception until menopause. Their exposure to various chemicals, toxins, drugs, and x-rays can not only affect their health, but that of their children and their ability to have children. I did my research. I found 8 out of 10 drugs pulled off the market disproportionately harmed females. Doctors across the country should have been humbled when medical schools taught them the lessons learned from drugs like thalidomide and DES. DES was a synthetic estrogen given to women without problem. They had children, but the daughters of mothers who took DES got to be about 18 to 20 years old, and they developed rare genital cancers and infertility at an alarming rate. It took 40 years for the medical establishment to figure out that DES caused transgenerational infertility and cancers. And this was a drug that went through standard clinical trials. There is no substitute for time. You can throw money at things, you can cut regulations, but there is no substitute for time. In June of 2021, the CDC announced that they were holding an emergency meeting to discuss higher than expected myocarditis in 16 to 24 year olds. Despite this announcement, the military did not even pause their vaccination efforts. Why? I made numerous efforts to get senior medical leaders to, at the very least, inform soldiers of the risk. Leadership ignored my concerns. This is very troubling for many reasons. You can't have informed consent if you don't tell your patients of the risks and benefits of a treatment or procedure. With respect to aviation safety, risk communication is critical. I saw 5 patients in clinic, 2 of which presented with chest pain days to weeks after vaccination and were subsequently diagnosed with pericarditis and worked up to rule out myocarditis. The 3rd pilot had been vaccinated and felt like he was drunk, chronically fatigued within 24 hours after vaccination. The pilot told me he didn't know what to do, so he drank a lot of coffee to try and, quote, wake himself up and continued to fly until he realized it wasn't going away. After I reported to my command my concerns that in one morning I had to ground 3 out of 3 pilots due to vaccine injuries, the next day my patients were canceled, my charts were pulled for review, and I was told that I would not be seeing acute patients anymore, just healthy pilots there for their flight physical. There's a concept of the 10th man, the loyal dissenter. That's the person that you select to be the dissenting opinion to prevent groupthink. Patients are entitled to a second opinion on their medical care. What happens when bureaucrats mandate that there is no dissenting opinion? In the military, flight surgeons can only make recommendations as to if a pilot is fit to fly or should be grounded. Ultimately, it is the commander taking on the risk and makes the final call to accept or reject a flight surgeon's recommendations. Fellow Americans, you are the ones taking on the risk. My recommendations are that Dr. Fauci and the members of the FDA and NIH are unfit to fly this plane. They need to be grounded. Before COVID, I told you medical errors killed the equivalent of 3 Boeing 747s packed full of patients every day. Medicine is not perfect. Doctors are not perfect. This vaccine is not perfect. Yet we are mandating every single American get on board a single aircraft piloted by bureaucrats and administrators who are unfit to fly the aircraft. They need to be grounded. These are not leaders. These are administrators faithfully implementing policies. There is one narrative that the vaccines are safe and effective, but neither are true. Senator Johnson, I want to thank you for being a loyal dissenter, for doing your job and being a leader. I hope the American people do not let fear, division, and threats guide your actions. Seek wisdom, pursue truth, and put your trust in the Lord. Hold the line.
Thank you. We're going to switch a bit to talking specifically about safety and about harms.